everyone, and welcome back into a fabulous new episode of Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are joined today by an incredible artist with two fantastic shows happening, but one in particular that we're going to talk about today. We are joined today by the creator and performer Valerie David, whose show The Pink Hulk, One Woman's Journey to Find the Superhero Within, has got three upcoming productions, if you will. On June 1st at the Fred Hutch Cancer Center in Seattle, Washington, June 6th and 7th at Cancer Pathways in Seattle, Washington, and October 3rd through 5th at the Power of Pink Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can get your tickets and more information about these productions at her website, pinkhulkplay.com. We are very excited to be bringing you this artist, this piece at I mean, it's a wonderful piece that's been used to do a lot of good. And I think the perfect person who can speak more to that, of course, is our guest. So let's go ahead and welcome her on. Valerie, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much for having me. And we have to do a shout out to Clara, who put us together at her wonderful show, 43 Stages of Grieving. And so I wanted to get a shout out to her to thank her. And thank you for having me be a guest today. I'm so honored.
I'm so excited to have you here. And yes, props to Clara, who was recently on our show once again with a new work that she's involved in. And I'm so excited that we finally have this chance to talk more about your work, The Pink Hulk. Can we start by having you tell us a little bit about what this show is about?
Yes. The Pink Hulk is about my journey. And I want to also say this is my 25th cancer anniversary, my 25th anniversary, 25 years, woo, woo, and like Elaine Stritch, I'm still here. So it's about my being a three-time cancer survivor. First of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and then stage 2 breast cancer, and then stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. And The Pink Hulk is about finding that inner superhero within ourselves to fight those challenges in life. And it's a story that's hopeful, and it's not a what poor my why me. It's a 60-minute show that's uplifting. And it's also very funny. It's about my trying to find love before I started chemo treatment and surgery. So I would try to call ex-boyfriends and say, hey, you know, and get love, and then realizing I loving myself and knowing that you have the power within ourselves. So that's why it's funny, because you have to see the tagline is come see if I have a happy ending. You know, it's a lot of hope and inspiration and empowerment. And plus, it's also doesn't sugarcoat the cancer experience as well, because it also walks you through a cancer patient's journey from start to finish, and all the people along the way that helped me get to where I am today. So I thank family, friends, and doctors. So it's a uplifting story and very funny.
Oh, I love that. First of all, congratulations on
thank you.
This is the greatest thing in the world.
Yes.
But secondly, the fact that you've got this great story, this funny story, that is the best thing. It's great to deal with serious issues in a funny
way. Exactly.
So with this experience you've gone through, I mean, what was it that inspired you to put this show together?
That's a great question. What inspired me to put the show together was that at the time I started The Pink Hulk, I'm now in its 8th year, I was a 2-time cancer survivor. So I had stage 3 lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and then breast cancer. So I thought I have a story to tell, that because both cancers have affected both men and women, right? So, and I felt like I'm a 2-time cancer survivor, and I felt like this could be something that I could help people with and inspire people. And also, I've also had the show as sensitivity training for doctors and nurses. And I was at Rhode Island College's nursing department. But then the show changed, Andrew, because I was diagnosed with cancer for the 3rd time the day the show was opening in Portland, Oregon. And that's when I was diagnosed with stage 4, which I'm happy to say I have no evidence of disease. And yes, and we're going to keep it that way. We don't want any more material to add on to The Pink Hulk. So the story took an amazing turn when I was diagnosed the 3rd time show's opening, the show must go on. I did the show and I kept doing the show and gave people even a more bigger window of what a cancer patient goes through. And having it now three times, it started to form and became its own being, a new story. And I changed through this as well. And so I think that the important part of the show is that where it first developed is that I kept getting signs from the universe where I was in a writing workshop with writing from Jumpstart Your Memoir, Writing from the Heart, and with Ian Franny. And I the story started happening when I was doing these workshops. My oncologist had encouraged me because she said, I feel like you have a story to tell. So there are all these signs. I went to improv camp and I started doing improving about my cancer experience. And they're like, there's a show in there. So it started with a lot of people saying, I think you've got something. I think you've got something. I think you've got something. And that's how it began. And it continues on.
It's amazing. And I want to keep going on that thought because I would love to know. I mean, you've been doing this show for a little bit. What has it been like developing the show, especially for these upcoming productions out in Seattle?
Right. So the wonderful thing that has happened with the Pink Hulk, which Andrew was a dream of mine, was to also have the show be where I could publicly speak about it, like being a keynote. I'm going to be the keynote speaker at the Fred Hutch Survivorship Conference, Moving Beyond Cancer to Wellness. So not only am I performing now, Andrew, I'm also being a keynote speaker to address audiences that, hey, if I can do it, you can do it. And we're all in this together, and tips and advice to get a superhero squad around you with your doctors, with your, and having your friends, and just guiding people to say, because what is important to me, Andrew, is that it's a show not just about cancer. It's a mantra to live by, to never give up hope, to fight back, to cancer smash, or just smash any obstacle in your way, not just from cancer. So I think that's I've been so honored and grateful of its success, because it speaks more to just cancer. It speaks to living life on your terms and saying, this is the way I want to live my life. And I want people to know that they have that superhero within themselves to find a path that they're most happy, because I've had three chances. I keep saying I'm climbing up to nine lives, I'm like, I don't want to hit the cat's nine lives. So what's most important in our lives is to be happy and to pursue your passion and to surround yourselves with people who share your passion.
That is so fantastic. I am adoring that. I think that is a brilliant thought, especially dealing with such a personal and serious subject as, of course, a cancer diagnosis. Whenever someone brings it up, they're literally like, what do we say? What do we do? And the fact that you're like, we can laugh about it now that I'm on the other side, but let me also tell you about how it was.
I laughed through it also. Yeah. I in treatment with no hair and chemo treatment, I was performing improv. So we're laughing through it as well. And that also to dispel any stigma of cancer, that someone who is going through a cancer diagnosis, and I'm going to be taking medication for life to keep this cancer at bay, it's not stopping me from doing anything in my life. In fact, it's motivating me to do more.
Yeah. So with this truly powerful show that you've got going, is there a message or a thought that you're hoping that audiences will take away from your piece?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. That's a great question. I want people to walk away feeling relief, feeling a sense of peace, feeling that they can conquer whatever's going on in their lives, a pathway to do it, because in the show, I talk about how I picked the medicine I was on that ultimately made me survive. I had people tell me crazy things. You know, when I was diagnosed in part of the show, this woman says, "Oh, I hate to say you're not going to die of old age." You know, when I had cancer, you know, and like was diagnosed in that, you do have a 3 to 5 year life expectancy. Good luck, lady. And I was like, no one has the right to tell you. And I called her a year later, and I should call her again because now it's been, you know, a few years since that first conversation, but no one has the right to tell you when you're going to live and when you're not going to live. And I think the message is that we are the captains of our ship, and we steer the ship the way we want. We want to avoid the Titanic iceberg, of course. You know, like, you know, there's always going to be bumps along the way, but our ships don't have to sink. You know? And there's lifeboats around us with the people that will be there always for us, and to keep those lifeboats with us because they're helping us float on that journey. You know,
I love that. That is beautiful.
We're the love boat. We're not the Titanic.
Carol Channing will take you home. Don't worry.
Exactly. Gotcha. So I think that I want people to feel, and not just them, but also Andrew, cancer loved ones, the caregivers and the family, because there was one time that a husband came up to me and said, "Thank you so much for this show, because I now know and understand what my wife goes through and I can better help her." So it's also a way for loved ones and caregivers also to be impacted in a positive way by the show. And anyone who is just feeling that they're struggling in their lives, that we can rise above and get through those times, and not to lose faith and hope. And I think that's it, to be hopeful and not to give up. Yeah, I didn't for 25 years, and I'm not about to for the next 25, or I should say 75. You know? I have to find Ponce de Leon and get the Fountain of Youth, you know, to stay forever.
We're celebrating our 26th birthday. For the 10th time. No,
exactly. That I want to, I want people to know that if, you know, cancer has become, you know, more of a chronic illness, you know, like diabetes or HIV, you know, that it's not something, it's something we're living with and we're still thriving with. And I think that's an important message. It's not, that's why I mentioned, it's not just about cancer. It's about saying, I can do this in life and I can do that in life. And there's no reason why I can't.
That's right. I mean, the advancements they've made in just the last 10 years alone.
Oh my God. That's why I'm still here. This would have been, I would not be talking to you right now and having this wonderful conversation and opportunity you've given me if there weren't medical advancements. Yeah. And I also have talkbacks, and that's a great thing that you also mentioned, because after the show, I have talkbacks, and this time around as well, I'm having talkbacks with experts in the field talking about vaccines and talking about progress in cancer research. So it's not just the show, it's beyond the show where I'm going to be having, and I've had my oncologist on there before as panels talking about advancements, disparities with different groups and the differences between them as well, and what we need to do to address healthcare and the cost of it, finances. That's also part of the talkbacks, what we can do to help alleviate those financial burdens, because we, as cancer patients and survivors, we don't want to have a $1 billion bill. What we need to focus on is our health and not the stress of having to pay for the healthcare or the out-of-pocket expenses. And believe me, there are a lot. So we need to figure that out and share what grants are out there and what organizations help with that as well.
Absolutely. That is all just such great information and great ideas. And a wonderful lead into my final question for this first part, which is, who do you hope have access to the Pink Hulk?
Oh, that's a great question. I love all these questions. I think the people to have access are cancer patients, survivors, loved ones, doctors, nurses, caregivers, anyone who's going through adversity. I feel that it is a very important topic, not just because it's cancer, but it's, you know, mental health facilities, just because I feel also, Andrew, it's mind over matter, you know, because I feel like you have to have that powerful mindset. And that I want people, the thing is, it's my show, it has the universal message of hope and empowerment. So it's not, is fits any bill of having anybody who's going through tough times to see this show to feel empowered and inspired. So it's a multitude of people, but of course the target group would be the cancer patients, survivors, and loved ones and caregivers mentioned previously, but it really is for everybody.
Second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better, pick your brain, if you will. And I know we're a little short on time, but I can't let you leave without asking my favorite question, which of course is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Okay. My favorite theater memory, and this is The Show Goes On. I was doing a musical called The Fires, and I was playing this evil boss lady. And it was about the Bronx fires. And I have terrible spatial relations. So as I was singing my song, I kept inching closer and closer and closer to the edge of the stage. And I ended up falling off the stage in the middle of my song. And I just popped back up and I kept singing and singing. However, my ankle ballooned to the size of a Macy's balloon, and I was in so much pain, and I kept going and I kept singing. And then during intermission, the director's like, "You finally got it. You got the essence of the character," which, you know, because she's like, and I was like, "Yeah," because I fell off the stage. And she's like, "That was brilliant." She thought I had planned it. And she thought that I purposely jumped off the stage and pop back up. And literally, Andrew, I did not miss a beat. Now, the funny part about it is that I had friends in the audience. So everyone who didn't know me was like, "Wow, that was a brilliant move. You know, good for her jumping off the stage. And then, you know, she's so into her song." And then my friends were like, "Valerie fell off the stage." You know, like they were like, "That was not planned. She was, you know, roadkill." she fell off the stage. And so if you knew me, you're like, "Klutzy Valerie didn't see where she was going." And luckily I only had a little bit left because I got shot in the end, you know, in the play. So thank God I got shot because I couldn't walk after that. Because I had the worst sprained ankle, but it was worth it. And what we do for our art, Andrew, we suffer for our art. So I suffered through the worst sprained ankle I ever had, but it literally went from a pancake to as big as a Macy's balloon. And I was like, I was hilarious. And the director was like, "You got it, you got it." And I was like, "Yeah, I got it. I got a sprained ankle." But it was worth it. And I would do it again. But I do, I'm PS to the story, I do try to be a little bit more careful when I'm on the stage. You know, I have to get electric glow tape around the edge of the stage to make sure I don't fall off again.
Oh my gosh, I love that memory. That is fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that.
That was one of my favorite memories.
Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline?
Yes. 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 I also wanted to mention my second solo show called Baggage from Baghdad, Becoming My Father's Daughter. And it's about my father fleeing Iraq in 1941 from a pogrom. And it was called The Farhud. And it was actually, interestingly enough, June 1st, 1941. And I'm performing June 1st in Seattle. And it's also a tribute to my father and how his strength and his family's strength fleeing Iraq and fleeing Baghdad in 1941 from religious persecution. And the story centers around bullying and prejudice and discrimination immigration, so much of what's going on in today's world, and that we need to accept each other and embrace our differences instead of being repelled by them. And I'm so proud to do this show. And I'm really honored and want to thank the Lower Manhattan Cultural Council, who have awarded me a grant. So that show will be coming up in Manhattan, date to be announced. And I have been doing that show as well in Sweden and in Vermont. And I'm so excited to be able to bring a full production back home to New York. And I've also done a lot of readings of it as well. And it is a tribute to my father. And one of the what makes it so special is that even though my dad isn't with us, I know that he is above, looking down and guiding me through all this and still with me always. And that's why I love doing this show as much as the Pink Hulk, because when I get to do the show, I get to be with my dad. And he's living on through the show. And it's something that a lot of people can relate to with growing up wanting to be accepted, which, he had to flee a country that didn't, and about the perseverance. And I truly feel that the strength of my father, and also my mom. I have a great family. The strength of my family is having to start over and leave with only what they could carry, starting in a new country, going to America. His strength and perseverance, and their courage, strength, and perseverance has made me who I am today. And I credit them for helping me go through cancer. Because I remember when I got diagnosed, my cousin goes, "I'm not worried about you. Look at the stock you come from." And I couldn't be more proud of my cousin saying that, because if my father had cancer, my grandmother, his, my paternal grandmother had cancer. So they went through so many obstacles in life. So if they were an inspiration to me to do this, to do Pink Hulk and to create Baggage from Baghdad from interviews that I had with them. So and that will be coming up as well. And my dream would be to have both shows in repertory, like doing both shows at the same time. And it's about love and the love of family and loss. And it really also mirrors the current struggles that we're having today. And I didn't know the time that I was writing this that all this was going to happen in our world. So it definitely is universal themes of trauma and mental health and what I mentioned previously, but also with a lot of love and humor as well. We can't not have balance all this without having humor and having a positive outlook. And again, it's also a second story that I am very excited to bring as well as the Pink Hulk. So yeah, so my dream would be doing both at the same time and having you in the audience. That
I
would
would
be
do those
a
bell
dream
for me.
too.
That is amazing, though. That's so
Yeah.
exciting. Something wonderful to look forward
Yeah, and I'm really excited. So it's we're just I'm currently now trying to find a space, and I'm just really honored. And the Lower Manhattan Cultural Council also had awarded me a grant for the Pink Hulk as well. So I'm truly grateful for this organization and their support of my work. So I wanted to give a shout out, thank you to them as well. And I had gotten the grant a couple years ago for the Pink Hulk and did the shows here in New York as well.
It's amazing.
So, yes, I'm very grateful.
It leads to my final question, which
Yeah.
is, our listeners would like more information about the Pink Hulk, one woman's journey to find the superhero within, or about maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
Oh, sure. I'm my handles on social media are at Pink Hulk Play. And I could be, I you can find me at pinkhulkplay.com. You can shoot me an email at pinkhulkplay@gmail.com. And also, Baggage from Baghdad is also on the Pink Hulk website as well. And you can see upcoming performances, clips of the show. And if you, I'd be loved for you to book me. You can contact me through my website and find me. So all pink. Anything pink. Just say pink and I'll magically appear, you know. Yeah, just say pink three times like Beetlejuice and I'll and I will be there. I will appear.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
Well, Valerie, thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Much. Thank you so much for your time, for sharing this amazing, amazing show, your amazing story and journey. All of this has been just so amazing. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for all that you do and your amazing podcast and all the support you give everybody. And a big shout out. Thanks to you. And I'm honored to be here.
Thank you for those kind words. They mean the world. So thank you very much.
Yes.
My guest today has been the amazing creator and performer, Valerie David, who's got two shows right now in the pipeline. One is Baggage from Baghdad coming next year. But right now, the production that's hitting the road and reaching many, many an audience is her upcoming productions of The Pink Hulk, One Woman's Journey to Find a Superhero Within, June 1st at the Fred Hutch Cancer Center in Seattle, Washington, June 6th at Cancer Pathways in Seattle, Washington, and June 7th at Team Survivor Northwest, again in Seattle, Washington. Then she heads south a little bit to beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, October 3rd through the 5th for the Power of Pink Summit. You can get tickets and more information about all of these productions by visiting her website, pinkhulkplay.com. And we'll also have some other contact information for Valerie posted in our episode description, as well as in our social media posts. But friends out west, you are going to want to check out this incredible, funny, and fantastic show playing all over the Pacific Northwest and in Las Vegas, Nevada, and available for production if anyone else would like to submit and get this production out to you. Again, the show is The Pink Hulk, One Woman's Journey to Find the Superhero Within. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.